Now, in describing the earliest community as a community of possessions, Luke is echoing the utopian ideal of Greek philosophy, as found already in Plato, that the perfect city-state is one in which everybody is friends and everybody has possessions in common. Therefore, nobody really owns any private property. If we took that description of the church in Acts as normative, we would say Christians must be communists. Christians must be socialists. That is, there is no private property, but everybody holds everything in common. That's a pretty radical vision as well. The book of Revelation portrays the Roman state, as I said in the last lecture, as the great beast, the whore of Babylon, which takes prisoners through its economic and political power, enslaves people and oppresses them. And the Christian community, which is thought of in terms of being servants and saints and prophets, is commanded, worship God only. In other words, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if the community worships God alone, they will resist the suzerainty of the imperial power. So this is quite different than Paul saying, be a good citizen, obey the emperor. This is saying, resist the emperor, form a counter community of worship that resists the societal power of economics and of politics. So those are four kinds of radical themes that run through the New Testament. And let me add a fifth. Finally, we have the striking fact that Jesus himself is a remarkably asexual creature. There is no indication that he has any sexual relations with anybody. So he's a virgin. And he dies violently as a martyr. Paul, his most powerful apostle, is not married. Paul says, I wish everybody could be like I am, but everybody has his own gift from God, one person this, the other person that. So Paul is unmarried. Paul dies violently as a martyr. Peter had a wife, but he also dies as a martyr. So we have this image of the earliest leaders of the church, that is, who took it most seriously, not as people who lived in households, not people who married, not people who kept their jobs and donated a bit to the community chest, but rather the real heroes of the faith. The people who were most like Jesus were people who hit the road, people who gave up their possessions, people who gave up any ordinary human relationships, left their families, and didn't form a new family. So for Christians who were bored or horrified by the smugness and safety that came upon the church from the time of Constantine, there were these passages and these examples that they could appeal to push them to a more heroic form of Christian life. So many of those called saints within the Christian tradition have in various ways sought to challenge not simply the way of society at large, but even the rest of the church, to challenge the church itself as being too comfortable a way of living. In the first three centuries, which we have called alternatively the Age of Persecution and the Age of Martyrdom, the two things obviously go together. In those first three centuries, virginity and martyrdom were frequently found among these church leaders. Ignatius of Antioch was martyred. Polycarp was martyred. Even though the church as a whole was regarded as a community of the saints, preeminently the holy ones were those who finished the task, if you will, by committing their lives wholly to God through poverty, chastity, and the form of obedience and loyalty that would issue in death. So Ignatius tells the Roman community when he is being hauled there in chains to face his martyrdom, don't interfere. Don't try to save me, because I will not be a complete Christian until I have shared in the suffering and death of Christ.